What's up, Level Up Nation? Welcome to episode 118 of the Level Up Podcast, your home for gaming and esports news, brought to you by the Overtime Network. My name is John, and I am joined by the man freshly out of quarantine. It is the king of the courtside, Joey. How you feeling, buddy?
John, I'm doing much better. My throat is not quite there yet. It's still a bit of like stuffiness, maybe some post-nasal drip going on. Good times. Yeah, I know, right? But for the most part, I'm feeling much better than I did. I went through all different things, from a stomach bug to sore throat to, I don't even know, it was weird. It's like everything lasted like a few hours, and then it was like the next thing. It was good times. Like, I ran the gauntlet of sickness.
It's pretty much like death was knocking at your door.
Almost. Yeah, pretty much. I was not a fan of it.
I see if you are watching us live here on Twitch, I see, Joey, you got my Get Well balloons there in the background there. I'm very happy you have those displayed for the show.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much, John.
It was my pleasure. I wonder if you got the... You know what? We'll talk about that later. Nation, head on over to Twitter. Give Joey a follow. That's at Courtside King. And while you're at it, give me a follow as well. That is at Fiasco. Again, both on Twitter. If you're watching again live here on Twitch, welcome to the stream. Those handles are down below our mugshots that you are looking at. And if you're listening on the podcast later on, welcome to you as well. And you can find those handles in the show notes below. Nation, every now and then, a new esports title enters the scene. Fire up your John Deere tractors. This one's going to be a doozy. Joey, aside from new esports titles, what else are we covering this week on episode 118?
John, we have a ton of partnerships coming up. So all over the esports universe, we have different partnerships. And there's some unique ones, some that we saw a little bit of last week, now with a different twist. We have more new tournaments coming up. You mentioned a new eSport as well. And on top of that, Microsoft's The Initiative Gaming Studio continues to grow, as well as Apex Legends hitting stores for free today.
My goodness, Joey, that is a bundle of topics. That is not a pun intended for later on in the show, but it's going to play out that way, so I like it. Joey, in order for us to bail all of these topics up together, we're going to need a drink of choice here to help assist us through all these topics. So, Joey, for the 118th time, your beverage, please.
John, I forgot to grab a beverage, so I'm going with some water. It will be followed by a hot toddy, though, later tonight to finish this cold off. But yeah, I'm on Tylenol anyway, so I probably shouldn't drink alcohol for a little bit.
You're just making excuses now.
Yeah, I pretty much forgot.
it's okay, because in these cases where Joey forgets to bring an alcoholic beverage, that is where I make up for his lack of effort here by doubling up my lovely rum and Coke in a Pepsi glass. Because if you're watching here on Twitch, I put Coke in a Pepsi Pepsi glass, which is really weird. But anywho, I'm gonna put a little bit more rum in there for you.
That just feels wrong, honestly.
It does feel wrong, but you know what? I mean, look, I feel like I have to use a Pepsi glass now, especially after that Super Bowl commercial with Cardi B in it, with her bedazzled can and whatnot. That was pretty cool. I want to know where I can get a bedazzled can. But Joey, we're getting off topic. We need to hop back on topic because, like you said, we have a ton of topics on 118. So let's waste no more time, Joey. Let's get right into gaming and esports news. Let's go.
Well, John, Optic Gaming had all of that drama recently. I feel like it was just a couple months ago. Now the majority stake of Infinite Entertainment, the owner of Optic Gaming and the Houston Outlaws, will now go up for sale, John, for sale this month, $150 million. John, Optic is a huge gaming organization, especially in the esports realm. Now we're also looking at the Houston Outlaws. I believe this is the first Overwatch League team that is going up for resale.
Yeah, it's not good. Optic kind of mismanaged a couple things here and there in the past couple of months. We talked about it here on the show. But really, like you said, the big story here isn't the fact that Optic Gaming is up for sale. It's the parent company of the Houston Outlaws. It's the first Overwatch League team of its kind, and an inaugural member of the Overwatch League being put up for sale. Houston Outlaws, not exactly a bottom feeder. They were probably mid-tier, maybe upper mid-tier echelon there in Season 1. They competed. They have one of the biggest household names in Overwatch League in Jake on that team, on that roster, and they're up for sale. That's kind of shocking here. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Optic Gaming going forward here. Will the new investors that buy the organization here, hopefully you would hope that they have the same esport mentality in mind, meaning that they're going to stay in Overwatch League, they're going to keep Optic, they're going to stay in a lot of the titles that they're already in. because it would overall it would suck to lose Optic Gaming in esports, especially with the Houston Outlaws and everything that they're currently in, to have them kind of pull back and consolidate from where they're already at in esports.
Yeah, and I feel like that has to go into consideration from the buyer as well as the organization being bought out. If you're Infinite here, you want to find a buyer who's going to continue that Optic brand, who's going to continue the Houston Outlaws brand. And again, John, this is just the majority stake as well. So we still have minority stakeholders that are hoping that this continues on, that are probably going to weigh in their thoughts as well with the new majority stakeholder owner. So I feel like nothing's going to change for Optic other than the overall ownership once the sale goes through, and it'll probably help clean things up as well. Swift, the parent company of TSM, has acquired the Blitz Esports desktop app. This is recently, I believe this was the same app that Discord ended up taking a lot of the functional employees from that do the statistics end. Now you have the app itself being sold off to the parent company of TSM. I think this is a good move. I hope this reinvigorates Blitz Esports in and of itself, since the app kind of died off after that sale to Discord. I'm hoping this brings it back with a new sense of life.
Yeah, I will be deleting my Blitz app now that it's owned by TSM. I can't have anything that supports TSM. No, this is fine. No, Blitz, when it was first launched, I believe Cloud9 was the original owner of Blitz when they first launched. Please correct me if I'm wrong on that. But it was a nice app. It was different from your who ran that? Was that eScore that had an eSports app?
The Score, yeah.
Yeah, and that was a great app too, but Blitz really offered something different, and it was great, and then it just stopped being supported, and it got tossed around kind of a little bit here and there. So I'm happy that TSM is acquiring it. Hopefully TSM keeps it up and running. It's really a great app. It's unique and really hits home on the fan aspect of engaging in the community through that app. So I really do like the Blitz app. So kudos to TSM for picking it up. Hopefully they can make it great, but... we'll see. It's TSM.
And for Fortitude there in chat, we do have a 100 Thieves roster move. Priesta is joining the 100 Thieves Call of Duty roster on loan from FaZe Clan for the remainder of the 2019 season. This moves Pharaoh to a substitute role on the team. John, I think this is a good move. We really need to see more out of the 100 Thieves team as far as Call of Duty goes. This brings in a talented player, someone who's been around for a while. I think it's a good move.
I just want to see more out of 100 Thieves in general. They have a lot of potential there. There's great backing, and this is a solid start. This is a great move for their Call of Duty roster. Solid pickup. You know, bringing anyone over from FaZe always feels like no matter what title that they're in, they compete at the highest level. They know what they're doing, and this is a great move. I think 100 Thieves will benefit from this move going forward as they continue their journey in Call of Duty. I want to see more moves like this coming from this organization. They could really use that. Because really, they haven't done too terribly much since they've been brought together as an organization. So hopefully 100 Thieves here, or 100 Thieves, as everyone's been corrected on Twitter, 100 Thieves makes more of these moves together to really solidify their place in esports and the titles that they compete in.
That's what you get for going with the numerals, you know? You put a 100, people think 100. So that is a branding thing over there. Sticking with Call of Duty, though, Genji Esports adds a Call of Duty World League roster that includes Spacely, Mao 419, Major Maniac, Nagafen, Cold Havoc, and Coach Joey Nubsy. This is going to be a good move for Genji, John. We already know them very well for their moves in League of Legends. Also in many other titles, they were very good at Heroes of the Storm before that one ended up falling apart. Now moving into Call of Duty, though, probably some of that Heroes money that they're no longer spending is going into this move, would be my guess. Call of Duty, a great up-and-coming title to buy into.
Well, it was nice to know my Smurf account, Major Maniac, got picked up. So, Joey, I'm going pro, baby. Let's go.
Then we have Stimpy from the Smash scene joining Panda Global. John, we don't really talk about Panda Global very much, but they're a very unique esports organization. They're not going out there and just buying all the best players. Not that Stimpy is not bad. Obviously, Stimpy, very talented in the Smash scene. But Panda Global has a very unique approach as far as how they go about picking players and how they pick titles. They're not buying into the biggest titles. They don't want the League of Legends, the Overwatch League. They're not getting those huge million-dollar teams. They're kind of buying into these solo titles, whether it be FIFA players, whether it be fighting players for Street Fighter or Smash. They kind of find these individual players and build their brand up that way. It seems to be working well for them. They also recently released a new like anime girl style mascot that has been doing very well and trending globally as well. So Panda Global going global, adding another huge addition here in Stimpy. And then Fnatic, it's CSGO Legends, JW, and Krims. We've seen this Fnatic roster change so many times over the past couple years. They've added veterans, then they ended up breaking the veterans apart. They added them back, broke them apart. And within this, we saw a bunch of rookies come in, bunch of up-and-coming players, more or less. Now we have JW and Krims saying, we are signing on to Fnatic. This saw Flusha go away. He's on Cloud9 now. Olaf Meister over at FaZe Clan. And you see all of these other talented players. Dennis, I don't know who he ended up on. He was on NiP for the longest time. I believe he might have went to Astralis at this point. But Dennis is still out there, a very talented veteran player. JW and Krim saying they are sticking with Fnatic 3 years. They have a great rookie system there as well with some great up-and-coming players, as well as a good shot caller in Zist. He's still trying to find his footing with this new roster. But I think having two veteran players that have been around for Fnatic for so long and signing on for 3 more years is a good sign for this organization. It says we are dedicated, and these two players are very talented and will help continue to bring up the younger players as well. Nothing on some Fnatic CSGO Legends, John?
It's Fnatic. They're up there in CSGO. You know, I agree. Their roster turnover is a little troublesome, but also I give them a lot of credit for being willing to make those changes because they want to put the best product out there for their fans. And for really the best bang for their buck, they want to compete. So I think it's great moves. JW and Krims coming to Fnatic, signing that 3-year extension with Fnatic. I think it's a great move. You lock them up for 3 years, have a little bit more of that stability.
Yeah, I think that's the big key factor here. Just because they've had so many roster changes, these past 3 years, they've shuffled the roster so much. Now you have two of these veteran players who've been around for a while, who already know the brand and who have already worn the brand for so long, now extending that. I think that's the big thing here. Like you said, consistency. Sticking with Fnatic, they have signed an exclusive streaming deal with Twitch. This is giant. Twitch already signing some of the biggest deals out there. I don't remember who it was, but someone misreported that Twitch was the only one with these deals. Misfits actually signed with Caffeine. We reported it a few episodes ago. But now Twitch signing one of the biggest, arguably, organizations in esports and Fnatic, probably top 5 worldwide. Now they're exclusively streaming on Twitch. I think this is a huge deal for both. In particular, I think Twitch benefits the most from this.
Oh, absolutely. And now Fnatic joins the same ranks as SKT from Korea. You know, when that deal went down, when SKT went exclusively to Twitch, Faker broke the Twitch record. And, you know, this was all pre-Ninja and Fortnite and everything, but, you know, that was still a pretty big deal. At one point in time, Faker was pulling in more viewers than the European League of Legends scene was when that was being played live, which is kind of an issue when you really think about it. Do you really want your biggest name streaming at the same time you have one of your premier League of Legends regions playing, competing? It wasn't a good look, but still, Faker pulls in some amazing numbers right now. SKT doing incredible things on Twitch. Now Fnatic joins that same rank, and Fnatic, I would argue, is right up there in the same kind of power worldwide that SKT is. Fnatic is known in a lot of the major titles in almost every major league, esport league out there. They're involved. So this is a great way to dedicate themselves to one platform that fans know that they can go to Twitch to find all their Fnatic content. They want to see Reckless stream? Awesome. They can go there. They want to see Caps. Oh, wait, no, Caps isn't on the team anymore. They want to see new baby Caps Nemesis stream, you know, a Nemesis, you can go on Twitch to find him. You want to see Buipo, you want to see if he's humbled this week or not. You can watch him on Twitch as well. I think it's a great move. I expect more teams to do this. Signing with Twitch is almost a no-brainer. You brought it up, and I do want to say this. I do like the Misfits deal with Caffeine still. I think that's a great move for Caffeine. While Caffeine still really hasn't put their foot down and like really challenged any of the other stream sites out there, I think it's a really good deal for both of them, and I feel like we're going to see more of these deals, whether it's on Twitch or Caffeine or even YouTube Gaming, come out here in the near future.
So I'll be honest, I think Caffeine is dead in the water. I really don't expect it to do anything, to be completely honest. I mean, you have to go up against Twitch, you have to go up against YouTube, and now even Mixer is competing for that third spot, really. And they've overtaken Twitch and YouTube in some of the numbers. When I think of Caffeine, I'm like, oh, I'd love to try it, but would I really choose it over any of these other three? I just don't think so. So I think Misfits wins here as far as the payday goes. I don't know if it draws enough people over to Caffeine, though. Last but not least, one of the other things to say here. So I think one of the bigger points to this deal as far as the Fnatic side goes and for Fnatic fans, now we're going to see some of the players who don't normally stream more often. Reckless already came out and said he's going to try to stream every day. which you and I, Reckless Fanboys, I mean, that's going to be huge. You got a really good AD carry, a veteran AD carry who's had some downsides, but now getting to see him on Twitch more regularly, he looks great on camera. He looks great in game. I think that's going to draw more people into the Fnatic team and hopefully some more support. At the same point, it's going to be interesting to see how Fnatic fans, and really fans in general of esports, how they're going to support these streamers when their teams are not doing that well. A lot of the people we stream are on very successful teams or on low-end teams that people just expect to do badly. So now that we have some more premier streamers on good teams or teams that have historically been good, I'm curious to see if people are very toxic to those streamers. So for my sake, for the esports community's sake, and really just in this particular case for Fnatic's sake, I'm hoping we don't see that negativity come out like we have seen in other games as well as in sports in general.
I also feel like a lot of these pro streamers have a great mod team that they hire on that really filter out that chat quite well. I mean, unfortunately, that is something that comes with being on the internet. It's unfortunate. It's upsetting. It's really irritating. Prime example, side note, sort of, there was a great video. Well, I'm not going to say great, but it was a great representation of what female gamers have to deal with on a regular basis. I got tweeted out, and I apologize. I forget who actually tweeted it out, but it's a 5-minute video of a female streamer playing Fortnite. And, you know, she had, I think, like around 50 viewers or something like that. So, like, you know, not drawing in like thousands and thousands of viewers, but still, she has an audience. And she queues up with these randos, and all they do is literally sexually harass her the entire game. Absolutely disgusting. Now, being a small streamer like that, you're not going to have that dedicated mod team that can really filter out, like, the chat room or whatnot. But granted, this was in-game chat. She handled herself incredibly well. But it's unfortunate that she even had to be put in that position. She makes a very good point at the end of that video that it doesn't matter who you are, whether you're a guy or a girl. You know, it doesn't matter what makes you different or alike or whatnot. The toxic nature of the internet is still there. And it's really upsetting that we haven't gotten past that yet. So, you know, even when these pro players stream, they're not immune to it. It still affects them, too. The big difference is they can afford a great mod team to help filter that out so the player doesn't have to deal with that as much, which is great because I feel like Reckless, in that case, you know, he'll have that support. Reckless is a great streamer. He's a great personality. He has a huge, huge fan base, so it's going to be absolutely great. But, you know, I just feel like we need to get past. We shouldn't have to, in 2019, sit here and be like, I have to have a mod team to protect myself. I can't play a video game because, you know, the way my voice sounds, people are automatically going to sexual harass me or whatnot. We shouldn't be having to deal with that, but it's an unfortunate part of the internet, and I feel like Reckless can put himself in a good place with those mods to help avoid that situation in the chat room, at least.
Next up, we have two betting sponsorships coming in. Betway Esports sponsors Big Clan, most known for their performances in the CSGO scene. And then Virtus Pro welcomes Mr. Cat, a Southeast Asian esports tournament organizer and betting platform, as a general partner. John, so I think the biggest argument here as far as, I think these are both great deals, but how do you feel about betting companies and betting organizations buying into esports as sponsorships with most of the audience being a younger age, as far as some even below 18?
It's a catch-22. I understand from an organizational standpoint why you want to make that deal. It's lucrative. Betting is a multi-billion dollar industry, not just here in the United States, but around the world. Betting is huge. But at the same time, there was a whole YouTube controversy about some YouTube stars. I'm putting those in quotation marks. I'm not even going to bother saying which one it is or which handful of it is. You can Google it and it'll pop up, but the people who do it are just absolutely disgusting. But essentially, they're selling to their younger fans, you know, 16, 15, 14, 13, 12, and younger year old fans gambling, where you buy, you know, a $200 box that has random stuff inside of it, and you have like a 1 in 500 chance of getting a PlayStation or a TV or a computer or whatever. That's online gambling. It's the same thing. What message are you sending to these impressionable kids, these 14, 15, 16-year-olds, or even younger, about gambling? You know, it's really a catch-22 because you don't want to send that bad message. A lot of the gaming and esports community is focusing on positive gaming, you know, being the best version of yourself in life and online. You don't want to you know, do something online that you're going to regret later in life. You don't want to do something in real life that you're going to regret later on in life. You want to be the best version of yourself. And I feel like there may be a message sent to these kids about gambling when you influence them. I mean, they're impressionable. And you know, I remember myself as a 14, 15, 16-year-old. You know, I wanted to do what the cool kids were doing. If I watched a YouTuber and they said, oh, I need to go buy, you know, prime example, take Supreme, the clothing line Supreme. That thing blew up on YouTube. Supreme is everywhere now, whether it's real or knockoffs. It's all over the place. People are paying hundreds and hundreds of dollars for a freaking cotton T-shirt that says Supreme on it. And that's mainly because of YouTube's influence. Same thing here with esports. It's the influence onto their fans. What message are you sending when you buy in to these sponsorships that include gambling? To me, I would hesitate with it. There's a reason why you don't have major names. Like I can't see Cloud9 doing this. I can't see Fnatic doing this. I can't see, you know, some of the other larger Western esport orgs doing this. Now, in other areas of the world, it's normal. Betting sponsors being on your soccer player jersey or your soccer team's jersey, you find that there too. So I don't know. I feel like you can do it, but you have to be able to send a message, and you don't want to send the wrong message because gambling can be addictive to those with an addictive personality.
I didn't pull it up in time, but I think Fnatic and Cloud9 both have betting deals actually already.
Oh, don't tell me that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they both do. I know Fnatic had Alpha Draft for a while, and that one's no longer around. But overall, so I'm going to play devil's advocate here. I think there is a negative side to it, but at the same point, I think there is a positive. With esports continuing to bring up the age bracket, obviously the most of the audience is still at a younger age, but with it starting to trend more toward 30, 35 now, as that bracket continues to get bigger with esports, I think this is a way to bring more money into esports itself with sites like DraftKings, sites like AlphaDraft when it was around, FanDuel, all of those different sites. So for me, this Betway Esports and this Mr. Cat deal are not bad. I think it's a way to branch out to that newer audience. Plus, at least with these two sites in particular, they do have you sign 18 and older agreements. They have you put in all that sort of information and check your birthday and all that beforehand. Obviously, you can lie about it, but when you go to collect your money, you can't get anything and you can't put anything on there anyway. So unless you can verify all that, you're not going to be able to put money on the account or end up taking money out that you win, that you can't win with $0 to start with. So overall, I think there are some preliminary things in place, at least for these particular sponsors. And I think this is giving a new way to reach out to that older audience if it does end up trending that way or continues to trend the way it is.
Yeah, it needs to be one of those things where you have to put in a credit card just to verify your age. Because obviously, if you're under 18, you're not going to have a credit card. And if you do, your parent obviously thinks that you're smart enough or mature enough, I should say, to have one that's tied to like a checking account or whatnot. Because I don't think Visa will give you one under the age of 18 anyway. But I feel like that would be the way to go. And I know a lot of sites already do that. So with that way, I would be fine with it. But I feel like this is where parents should step in too, to really talk about gambling and the pros and cons of it. You know, Joey, you and I like to gamble. I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, I don't enjoy going up to MGM and National Harbor and playing blackjack for 2 hours. But at the same time, I'm not going up there with my entire paycheck, putting it all on one hand and you know, letting it ride. You know, we're not playing roulette and letting it run all on red. So, you know, you got to be smart about it. And the thing that worries me is the fans out there that have that addictive personality that can easily get like hyper-focused onto one thing. That's where I get scared. And I agree with you. With the age trend swinging towards upper 20s and into 30s for esports, that makes sense. That makes complete sense to go with a gambling site. Like you said, I agree with you 100%. It brings more money into esports, brings more money into these marketing deals, and it's a great way that you can show your support for esports as well. I mean, how many products have you bought, you know, because they sponsor an esport team that you like or because they did X, Y, and Z, you know? Prime example, same thing with betting platforms here. So again, I'm kind of mixed on it, but I think you brought up some very valid points, Joey.
State Farm has entered the esports fray by sponsoring popular Fortnite streamer Dr. Lupo. John, we've seen this many times before, different people buying in and supporting streamers in particular. Red Bull with Ninja is one of the more prolific ones out there. Now State Farm buying in. I think this is the first of many insurance companies. As people continue to see esports grow and grow, especially driver's insurance for young teens, this is a perfect platform to do so.
I want to see State Farm and other auto insurance companies sponsor a battle royale game that actually has vehicles in it. Now, I know Fortnite has golf carts in it and airplanes and everything now, too, but it never used to. Go to PUBG. They actually have cars. They have cool little buggies and so on and so forth. And then, like, when you get killed on a car, I want it to pop up and be like, State Farm death. If you wore your seatbelt, it would have, you know, it's that seems like a terrible PSA to put it in a game. But I think that'd be absolutely hysterical. No, it's great for State Farm. State Farm is actually involved in a lot of esports. I believe they're also involved in League of Legends as a sponsor when it comes to the State Farm analyst desk, at least for the LCS. I don't believe they're for the LEC, for the European scene. But I think it's great. State Farm, again, a big supporter of esports going forward. So it's great to see them jumping in and sponsoring now a straight-up streamer, too, this time in Fortnite. So it goes to show you Fortnite's still strong as an individual title here for a streamer, but it's that team sponsorship, it's that league sponsorship that's still really lacking in Fortnite, but it's great for Dr. Lupo.
And we've talked about this before, and we don't have to go too much more into it, but it is going to be interesting the day when we see these sponsorships enter the game itself. Like with Toyota, with their deal with Overwatch League, when will the payload, if it ever will, become like a Toyota truck? I doubt they ever go to that length, but like even LCS, we see banners for different teams get put up at world and international events. What if we eventually see banners for LCS sponsors or League of Legends sponsors? Like MasterCard is a worldwide sponsor. What if they eventually put MasterCard banners up in-game as you leave the area of Summoner's Rift where you start out on, like the fountain area? So I'm just curious when we eventually see these sponsorships bleed into the game itself, at least on the esports scene. I have a feeling it's not that far off.
The only thing I don't want to see is I do not want the payload in Overwatch to become a Toyota Prius, because that thing will never move. It will never move.
I don't think
move.
They'll ever change the payload, but it would just be interesting. I mean, that's like an extreme example. I feel like we're going to see more and more, like, if there's a shop in Overwatch, maybe we see like an Apple logo or whatever up on it. Like, I think it'll be more little stuff in the background as far as scenery go. I don't even think Overwatch or Blizzard would do the moves there, but I would not be surprised to see Riot Games do something. I could see Riot making a game or a move there in that general area before Blizzard. But some of these other ones, like PUBG is suffering. They need ways to do it. I don't know if their graphics could load a logo in some of these areas, it feels like. But overall, I feel like different games that are not quite up there, or maybe even Fortnite, because it seems to be doing all different brand-leading things. Someone eventually is going to put something into a game, at least on the esports level, so I'm curious when it's going to happen. More car sponsorships. Last episode, they I have a funny way of writing this on here. The car sponsorships from last episode continue to rev up as Team Liquid add Honda as their official automotive partner. I didn't even realize I made a pun there in the notes. That's just too funny. And then Fnatic has partnered with Kia Motors, who also partners with the LEC, and Double Tap Esports to make a few different pieces of content. The first for them was an LEC hype video. So two new automotive sponsors here, John, Kia Motors and Honda both joining in. It seems like this has got to be five or six now automotive sponsors in these different esport titles.
Yeah, it's great. And really, when it comes to sponsorships of any kind of entertainment form, car manufacturers are always right there. We see it not just in traditional sports, but now we're seeing it in esports. I think it's absolutely great. SK Gaming for the LEC has Mercedes-Benz on their beautiful, beautiful eSport jersey that Joey absolutely hates for no reason other than it's a beautiful jersey. And he just doesn't like beautiful jerseys. You know, Honda coming to Team Liquid, I think that's absolutely great. I don't think they got a prime position. I think they're on the side of their sleeves. So it is what it is. But anyway, it's great. It's great to see these dealers, these car manufacturers, partner more with these esport organizations. I think the Kia Motors deal is great for Fnatic. I want to see Hyundai come in there too. Hyundai does a lot of sponsorships when it comes to the NFL. So I think that would be great to see them cross over into esports in the Western market as well. And Joey, I just want to point out, I'm not the only person that facepalmed at your rev pun. Shout out to chat for facepalming as well. That was awesome.
I mean, I have to facepalm myself on that one. I didn't even realize I put it in the notes until I started reading it and cracked myself up. But yeah, I'm pretty proud of that one, to be honest. God. It's just coming naturally at this point.
It's so bad.
Xbox has partnered up with Nike for a custom Xbox controller and shoe design. This comes right on the heels of them partnering up with Air Jordan as well for a custom shoe. So look out. Xbox is partnering up with a bunch of shoe companies for some custom stuff. It's nothing that special, in my opinion, John. It includes a Nike logo on an Xbox model and on a controller model, as well as the shoe design with a little bit of an Xbox flair to it. Very clean white, but nothing crazy like we saw with Fnatic Crystallize a few weeks ago.
Well, number one, get ready to pay another $500 for your Xbox because that stupid little check mark's on the damn thing. You know, there's that. You know, look, I don't get it. Like, why? A custom Nike Xbox? I mean, I understand what Nike's trying to do, but what's going to make that stand out from another Xbox? You know, is it going to be with a special limited edition 2 terabyte hard drive built into it? You know, is it going to be, you know, a special funky color? Are you going to have
plain
like
white.
The Nike Run app, the Nike Run Club app on the Xbox as well now too? This isn't going to put you over the top against Sony and PlayStation. Why? There's nothing that makes me want to buy an Xbox with a Nike swoosh on it. Nothing.
No, and I don't think many people are going to buy it, to be honest. I think this would be very low count. It might even be just like a limited edition thing, if anything. There's also like a Fortnite Xbox model coming out. They're going to probably do a Halo one when that comes out, Gears of War. They always do a bunch of custom Xboxes. It doesn't feel like they really go off the shelves in any sense. It's more like a limited buy thing. Mm-hmm. This Nike one just doesn't quite do it for me overall, though.
No, and I agree. And I think the ones that are modeled after a game, those are fine. That makes sense. But not a shoe and clothing company like that. That doesn't make sense. You know, Fortnite. OK, cool. Minecraft. OK, cool. The new Gears of War. You know, OK, fine. Cool. That makes sense to me. And I feel like that's a great way to have people cross over, especially when they're Xbox exclusive right. titles. That's a great way to get people to cross over and buy that title and that Xbox. But other than that, I don't see this being effective for Xbox.
No, I don't either. And I really don't know if they're 100% going for effectiveness either. I think this is more just, hey, we partnered up. We're throwing out another thing. They just do custom consoles so regularly. This one in particular, it's going to sell, unfortunately, John. I mean, it's just going to. Anything with Nike on it sells. I like what Chat's saying. Just throw a sticker on it for $3. It's probably the better move and probably what you and I would do. But I guarantee someone who wears all Nike stuff will eventually get something like this. LEGO Reinhardt and LEGO D.Va are assembling on toy shelves near you. So, John, this is the agreement we saw with Overwatch and LEGO probably 6 months ago. Now we have our first version of the LEGO action figures out, Reinhardt and D.Va. I think these are great, too, to start with. I'm excited. I actually haven't looked at pictures of them. But if you're going to choose anyone to start with, I feel like these have got to be two of the top ones.
Yeah, and, you know, I would hate to see what the price for this is going to be. I was just in the LEGO store the other day at the mall around here just picking up a gift for my nephew. And taking a look at the price for this, like, Yoda, this Yoda LEGO, it was like $120. And I kid you not, it was about yay big. It was maybe about 8 inches tall. And that was it. It had like maybe 150 pieces to it. And I'm sitting there just going like, that's insane for LEGOs. And that is with, you know, a title like Star Wars. I can't imagine what a title like Overwatch, and Joey, I have a feeling based upon your reaction, the sounds I just heard, you found the price tag here.
Oh, I did. Let's play guess that price tag. Go ahead.
I am going to go with $175.
Oh, no, not even close. Much lower.
Much lower. Wow.
Much lower.
Let's go.
These are just like little normal. It doesn't have a size, but I'm guessing like about this size. And they have, so it's the suit, and then they pop out to be little LEGO figures, like a normal LEGO figure. D.Va and Reinhardt.
I'm going
to
go with $74.99.
$39.99. So actually not crazy, but still pretty expensive.
Yeah, I mean, I can see it now. Mommy, can I get this $40 LEGO of D.Va? You know, so it'll be interesting.
With that, let's stick with Blizzard, this time moving over to Twitch. We're seeing the release of the Season 2 Overwatch League All Access Pass in advance of the 2019 season that is set to launch on February 14th. This year's pass, John, I think is worth the bang for the buck. I don't feel like last year's was. This year, however, you're looking at a $15 price tag, and that's going to give you the new Command Center view, We saw previews of this with the World Cup from this past year. You can choose your view. So if you're watching two teams play, you can choose if you want the regular stream view. You can choose any player's particular stream and their point of view as well, which I think is a great feature. On top of that, you're going to get 200 Overwatch League tokens worth a value of $10 in themselves and a 20% off all Overwatch League merch coupon as well, which is going to be valid from this month through the end of October when the season's going to run. And I think this is really good overall. I mean, you're getting $10 worth in the Overwatch League tokens alone, plus this 20% discount and an awesome point of view stream where you can choose however you want to watch the Overwatch League matches and your players of choice. $15, I think this is a price tag worth cashing in on, to be honest.
Yeah, and Joey, I know you said you already bought this. I'm going to be buying it too with all the new features that they're really offering. I love the fact that you can tune in to the player that you want to watch a stream. Like if you are a diehard support player and you want to watch, you know, your favorite support player in this certain situation from his point of view, why not? It makes sense. It's not only a great way to enjoy the Overwatch League, but it's also a great way to study and learn for yourself so you too can become a better Overwatch player as well. I love that aspect. And really, they're giving you 200 Overwatch tokens also, which, like you said, is a $10 value. You're paying $15. So for the other $5, you're getting all these amazing stream options during the Overwatch League competitions, plus 20% off all Overwatch merchandise that is region locked too. So I think that's only North America, because I know there's some issues with people trying to ship internationally. There were like huge like $40 shipping fees and everything people were complaining about on social media. But 20% off over all Overwatch League merch. Let's put it to you this way. Overwatch League jerseys are $85. You get 20% off of that. That's a pretty sweet deal. So I think for $15, you're getting more than what you're really paying for at the end of the day. I think it's a great revamped version of this pass. And hey, hook, line, and sinker, I'm there. I'm buying it too.
And wait, that's not all. If you're a Twitch Prime member, you also get 500 bonus bits. I did not see that at the top.
Woohoo!
So, yeah, support your favorite streamers. Hey, OTN underscore live, we can take some bits at any time. So, yeah, feel free. I mean, if you're a Twitch Prime member, you're already getting that with Amazon. So many people already subscribe to Amazon Prime. Now you get 500 bonus bits, which is in addition to this $10 worth of Overwatch League tokens. Like John said, who knows how much, depending on how much you're planning to spend on the Overwatch League merchandise. With a 20% discount, you probably get up to $40-$50 if you really want to spend a ton. So overall, I think this is a huge deal at $15. I really think they've went up and beyond and really improved it for this upcoming season.
And Joey, one other thing we talked about is the custom emotes too.
Right.
I didn't see this earlier. It says pick a set of 3 team-themed emotes. So it looks like you can choose up to 3 teams to get those emotes for, to cheer for in chat.
Oh, and above that, we missed this too. Ad-free on Twitch, so you can watch the whole thing ad-free, which is huge with Twitch adding ads now. Now those Overwatch League channels will be ad-free. That in of itself might even be worth it. Pass holders only chat, so if they end up limiting the chat, you get a VIP pass holder chat window. You can participate in Q&As with Overwatch League pros for behind-the-scenes access, insight, and tips. And you get 2 exclusive chat badges as well. So you're really getting a ton for $15 here. I think this is a really good deal.
15, a sweet spot when it comes to features like this. I think Blizzard hit the nail right on the head with this. And I feel like a lot of fans are going to enjoy this.
And I feel like they really listened to feedback as well, which is another credit to give them. Based on last year's pass, I don't feel like it was worth the money. I don't remember if it was 10 or 15, but you really didn't get much from it. Now that you're getting all this stuff, I feel like it's definitely worth $10 to $15. $15, I think, is honestly a really good price because I think you could even go higher. So I'm happy with it. I'm very happy with it, and I've made the purchase already. Moving into our other news section, Microsoft Xbox, the Initiative Gaming Studio. John, I know this is one of your favorite topics. They've added a ton of more people. We have God of War's senior staff level designer Chris O'Neill joining, SpaceX's senior software engineer Ben Diamond, Just Cause 4's Justin Walters joins as a senior environment artist as well. He previously worked on Just Cause 4, Star Wars Battlefront 2, Call of Duty Modern Warfare Remastered, Halo the Master Chief Collection, Shadow of Mordor, and more. And on top of all that, we also have Nintendo's Damon Baker joining Microsoft as the head of portfolio at Xbox now. He was previously with Nintendo as their second and third party supporter. So all of those second and third party games you see on Nintendo, he was the one that did the portfolio for them. So you have 4 huge people coming in, John, on top of all the other amazing people that they added this past year as well.
You know, Joey, I really feel like I said it once, I'm going to say it again. If Xbox and if Microsoft does not put out some of the greatest games of all time with this, I'm calling it A tier, it still feels like you're underselling it, with these amazing developers and programmers that they have purchased out from their other studios or the studios if they bought it outright, I really feel like Microsoft has to put out like 5 incredible games that are going to blow everyone away, that are going to be bestsellers that people are going to remember for decades to come. Because otherwise, I don't know. Like, I feel like they're setting themselves up for a possible failure. And I feel like anything that isn't huge and it's going to blow everyone away, I think a lot of people are going to be disappointed. It makes me nervous, and I'm not even an Xbox fanboy. I can't imagine how you feel like with all these acquisitions. I mean, you got to be excited thinking all these quality developers and programmers are coming over to Microsoft. That's going to be great if you're an Xbox only player. But the little voice in the back of your head's probably saying, you know, it's like, but what if? What if?
Man, my voice is just saying win. I mean, at this point, just you've brought in so many people. I feel like failure is not even an option, and I really don't think it can happen. I mean, when you look at all of Sony's top exclusives from these past like 3 or 4 years, Microsoft now owns either the head of that project or the head level or environmental designer for all of those games. You look at The Last of Us, they have them. You got Uncharted, they have them. You look at God of War, they have him now. I think the only one they haven't touched that I can think of is Spider-Man. That's the only one I don't think they've got anyone from, at least that's been announced yet. So when you look at all these huge titles and all of these crazy good designers they brought in, I just can't imagine how immersive things are going to look. I'm amazed. I'm honestly stunned at how they've been able to acquire all this talent and the fact that it continues to grow. And some of these guys have been working for a couple months there, and it's just now coming out that they're making the announcements. So I think we're going to continue to see them trickle out. It feels like one every week or one every 2 weeks since the beginning of January we've seen so far. And I really don't think we're at the end of it yet, because they continue to hire. Like, Rare is expanding their studio. The Initiative is signing 100-some people. Forza Motorsports, that studio with Turn 10 and Horizon, they're continuing to build more and more. So as we continue to see more and more exclusives come in, I really think Xbox is setting themselves up for crazy good exclusives down the road. They're trying to release 4 or 5 big ones a year. And I think they're going to do it. I really think with the Initiative working on 1 to 2 games, plus all these other 7 to 8 studios they ended up acquiring, Xbox is finally listening to people again like they did in the 360 generation. They realized they started the Xbox One generation off terribly, and now they're investing in the future. And I really think this is the move Xbox needed to make, and I think it's going to benefit them big time. And on top of that, I didn't put it in the notes, but they're also looking at putting Xbox Live on the Nintendo Switch now as well. Working with Nintendo to bring Xbox Live to more games over there. So Xbox just, it's making the right partnerships, it's making the right acquisitions, and I feel like they're finally building from a different perspective, and I think it's going to bring a lot of big exclusives for the future.
Well, Joey, I'm going to have to ask you this. Mm-hmm. You seem pretty hype about this. I am very much so a critic of everything Xbox does and does terribly, which, by the way, congratulations on your Xbox Live outages last week. That went over incredibly well.
Yeah, we have to join the PlayStation audience, you know.
No, shots fired. Okay, so a question, sir. These titles that are supposed to be coming out from all these major acquisitions, is it going to be enough to break me away from the amazingness that is the PlayStation?
Well, John, your nephew already took care of that.
No. Just because his grandparents are not as astute to buy a PlayStation for him or whatnot. I'm not going to trash my own parents for that. That's, you know, they got a great deal on it. I mean, hey, look, they found an Xbox with a 1 terabyte hard drive on sale for like $200. I mean, Look, if Xbox Ones are already on discount like that, I mean, I'd buy it too. I mean, it's a heavy paperweight, but still, it is what it is. I will still be playing on my lovely PlayStation 4. In fact, I actually just bought FIFA 19 on PlayStation 4, and let's just say I'm not that good. I remember why I stopped playing it. But is it going to be enough, Joey? I want you to make your prediction right here on episode 118. Is it going to be enough to pull me away from my PlayStation and make me a full-time Xbox gamer?
I think it can pull you from your PlayStation for next generation. But I don't know, John. You're hard to pull off that keyboard for the PC in general, I feel like. The controller just doesn't quite do it for you anymore. I mean, I've seen you play Mercy on a controller.
No cut. Hey, you want to know something? I still broke your personal records on the
film. I had never played Mercy.
It doesn't matter. I still set records on your account. That's all I care about.
Oh my gosh.
Account boosting, sir. That's account boosting.
I mean, I think it's going to be the same thing we've seen every other generation. PlayStation 2 dominated the original Xbox. Then you look at the PS3, Xbox 360, Xbox 360, all the pro titles were on Xbox 360. All of the really good gamers that won every competition were on the 360. Then you move over to the next generation. Xbox made some big blunders. They lost a lot of people telling them it had to be online. They lost a lot of people telling them they were going to get rid of discs at the time. And now it's funny because everyone's getting rid of discs anyway and moving digitally, it sounds like. But PlayStation 4 completely took up on that, and they ended up with such better exclusives as well. Xbox was bleeding out with the Halos, with the Gears of War. They just weren't coming up with a new idea. There were so many new IPs on Sony. I think Sony killed that. I mean, yeah, hold the controller up. Sony absolutely killed it with exclusives this generation. Then Nintendo obviously comes along and they do their own thing. Nintendo has really never sized up, but they never really want to, it feels like. They continue to go for these first-party titles, the Marios, the Legend of Zelda. They continue to bring out these titles that do really well, but they never go for the stuff like the Call of Duties. Now they're starting to trend into it a little bit more with Rocket League on the Switch, with Minecraft, Diablo. I think Nintendo is just going to continue to beat at its own drum, and it's going to do its own thing and do really well with it. At the same point, when it comes to generation swaps for next gen, I think Xbox takes the money. PlayStation has some big exclusives coming out, but overall, I think probably 2 to 3 years down the road, Xbox is going to come out with some crazy good exclusives, and I think they win next generation. But the biggest question mark with Xbox still, and I think we've talked about this a bit before, a lot of the exclusives they're buying are also going on PC. I feel like if Xbox puts all of their exclusives on PC, you might as well go PC and PlayStation. You know what I mean? Like if you can play it on PC, you're going to go PC. If you're a console-only player, yeah, you go Xbox, I think, at that situation. But if it's offered on PC and Xbox, unless you're a Play Anywhere person who wants to go from upstairs to downstairs and play on the living room TV flawlessly, I think it almost makes more sense to go Sony as the console and PC as the platform of choice, more or less. So it's hard to say that as an Xbox fan, but overall, depending where they put those exclusives, I think is going to be a big matter in this situation.
Fair enough.
What else we got here, John? Oh yes, what else do we have here? The Farming Simulator is getting its own esports league with more than $280,000 in prize money. John, are you ready for competitive Farming Simulator?
Okay. a couple of weeks ago, I made fun and absolutely demolished the idea of NASCAR esports, and how not excited at all I am in regards to NASCAR esports. Who wants to watch 50 cars go around in a damn circle in real life, let alone on an esport? Who wants to watch that? It's not exciting at all. It's not even a sport in real life. It's not an esport. It's just virtual driving, and it's right up there with virtual golf. I don't find it exciting whatsoever. I find it just, it makes no sense. Joey, now, I have a confession to make. I have never played Farming Simulator.
I have not either.
I have never wanted to play Farming Simulator. I've played Flight Simulator, but I would argue even Flight Simulator would be a terrible esport. Competitive virtual hay baling. Why? I mean, I researched this game. I don't understand how this is an esport. I don't understand how anyone's going to watch this. I don't understand that the market you're really pushing to is literally like farmers. And I'm sorry, I may be assuming a lot here, but when's the last time you heard a farmer was watching esports? Like, I don't understand. What's your target audience here? What's your target? Look, for some reason, there are prizes of upwards of $280,000 being pushed in to Farming Simulator esports. I don't. Why? What? Who's going to watch it? Chat. Is anyone in the chat room going to watch it? I don't know. Probably not. Joey, I'm not going to watch it. You're probably not going to watch it. I think anyone who enjoys esports competition and, I don't know, excitement that doesn't involve who can bale virtual hay faster than the next person next to him on the console over there. Why is this a thing, Joey? Why?
I mean, John, I am definitely going to at least tune in for the first match. I mean, who cannot watch this? It's such a unique thing. Farming Simulator 19 sold a few million copies in its first 10 days of availability last year. So it's selling off the shelves. At the same point, like you said, how many of these people are actually going to translate to esports fans? I personally don't see this being that successful, as you said in your rant there as well. But overall, I'm interested to see what they do. Like, is this just hay stacking? Is this how many crops you can turn in a certain amount of time? Like, what exactly are we watching here? It seems utterly ridiculous. Utterly, hey, pun intended. But I mean, overall, like, what? Like, can you imagine casting this too, John? Like, if we casted a Farming Simulator event?
I got this. I'm going to give this a shot here. Okay. Well, now you see right over here, Farmer Brown, 246 over here from the great state of Missouri over here is planting some soybeans right over yonder. We're going to sit back and watch here how fast this whole cycle goes. Joey, break it down. Mm-hmm. Tear you hood. You know what? Probably would have gone a little bit faster there if he had that John Deere sponsorship instead of that International Harvest sponsorship right there. That is in game. That is in-game tomfoolery right there, and that's why he's going to lose, and Jim Bob 42 is going to win this whole darn thing, and I'll tell you why, and afterwards, we're going to go to the hoedown at the local country concert. That's what we're going to do. We're going to go to the hoedown afterwards over at the watering hole when this whole thing is done because, you know, this whole technology thing is for the birds. I'm out. Joey, back to you.
Yeah, I don't understand how you would color commentate this either. Like, what do you do? Oh, lad, he stacked it so nicely right there. What a technique. He ended up leaving 10 yards between the rows so he could easily harvest his carrots over the wheat. Like, I mean, seriously, like, what do you do? Like, oh, I like the tractor he chose because it's more agile. Like,
you see the angle he dropped that last hay bale, right? The bale of hay right there? That angle right there tells you that this man has been practicing. If you watched him on his stream, he realizes 47 and a half degrees angle drop is the perfect drop to stack them hay. And I'll tell you what, that is how you do this game. That is how this is an e-sport. Right there.
Yeah, I'm amazed at this. In case you're wondering, John, it's going to culminate in a grand final at FarmCon 2020.
Oh, my God. FarmCon, are you serious right now? That's a thing? That is an actual thing? FarmCon?
So we look forward to covering this guy. It'll probably be a regular segment here on the Level Up podcast as we continue to follow the players that get signed for FarmCon 2020 and the Farming Simulator 19 League. And who knows, maybe John and I will be casting some Farming Simulator in the DMV. Get ready to subscribe for those tournaments. Okay, let's move on. Marshmallow Music had a concert in Fortnite. John, this brought in 10 million concurrent players on top of millions of people watching. This is just one way Epic continues to push boundaries and do unique things. We have a concert here. So many people saw their first concert in a video game in Fortnite. Massively popular game. Tons of streamers play it. Tons of players play it. And now Fortnite bringing Marshmallow Music in here as a new concert venue. And we're probably going to see a part two, John, because it was this successful.
You know, look, I'm a huge fan of music. I go to a fair share of concerts every year. Live music is amazing. This is cool, I guess. You know, you get to reach out to a group of people that may or may not be able to afford to go to your concert. And, you know, Marshmallow is a huge EDM DJ in real life and plays a lot of large music festivals. So, you know, 14, 15, 16-year-olds may or may not be able to go to those. So this is really cool to, like, spread your name as a brand out there, too, if you're Marshmallow. But I think this is really cool. It's unique. It hasn't been done before, and I'm glad they're doing it again. I didn't get a chance to tune in, mainly because I uninstalled Fortnite. That's neither here nor there. But, you know, the thing is, it's unique. It's different. And Fortnite's huge, and this made it even bigger. 10 million people logged on to watch a virtual concert. And Marshmallow nailed it. He played it up like it was a live show right there, you know, at your local arena or music venue. You know, it was in Pleasant Park, and he was referring to everyone as the Pleasant or Pleasant or, you know, the location he's at. You know, that is awesome. I absolutely love that. And I love this mixing of music and video games, not just two things that I'm incredibly passionate about, but it's such a great match together. and you saw it. 10 million people tuned in, popped on Fortnite to watch a virtual concert. It doesn't get much better than that. I freaking love this idea coming out from Epic Games, and I really want them to do more of this, not just with Marshmello, but other artists as well.
Yeah, and I think this is just the start. I mean, we saw them do NFL skins. We've seen them do all different other things, like the Avengers. They had Thanos in there. They continue to find new ways to invent the game and try to bring more people into it. I think Marshmello is just the beginning. I think we're going to see more and more artists do this. And I think it's going to be another way to continue to bring esports and gaming in general onto another scale. As people learn more about video games, as people begin to accept video games differently, as they see their kids just enjoying this virtual concert for the free price of $0. I mean, you know how much stuff like this would cost in person? It's such a huge discount, and you can do it right there in your living room. So I think we're going to continue to see more and more of this. I think we might even see it in more games than Fortnite. I wouldn't be surprised. We've already seen how other titles have took up the Battle Royale thing that PUBG and Fortnite made popular, H1Z1 as well. I think this could be something we see in more and more games. Fortnite just seems like a perfect platform for it, though. Continuing a great young audience there, and they have ways of adapting to bring these new things in. So, really exciting there. Speaking of Battle Royale, John, before we go into our final Esport League updates, we have Apex Legends releasing today, Monday, February 4th. This is Respawn and EA's Battle Royale submission. Free-to-play on PC, PS4, and Xbox. It's a class-based Battle Royale, so it kind of feels like a mashup of Realm Royale, where you get that class aspect, but then with Call of Duty's Blackout, it feels like, because you have that realistic gun aspect as well. So overall, I think this is going to be interesting. Neither one of us has played it yet. I'm actually downloading it as we speak, so I'm excited to give it a try either tonight or tomorrow.
Oh, my. Is it going to have you turn into a chicken like Realm Royale does when you get knocked down?
I actually never played Realm Royale. I just knew it was class-based.
It's not worth it. It's so cringy, especially when you turn into a chicken. Ask some of our OTN Discord members when we played. It got very annoying whenever I turned into a chicken because I would just make chicken noises the entire time.
It was bad. That's excellent. Dota 2, we have Team Secret taking down Virtus Pro 3-1 to win the Chongqing Major. I should have practiced that one beforehand. Chongqing Major? I need to work on my Chinese, chat. I will work on that after this show. But Team Secret, your first major champions for Dota 2 for the year. Exciting stuff there. Secret, a very good team, very talented team. And they did very well last year in the international tournament as well. So it seems like they're already off to a great start for 2019, too. With that, let's head on over to the LEC and LCS to break down our standings. John, let's kick it off with the LEC. You want to jump down those standings?
Absolutely. After three amazing weeks of LEC action, you have G2 Esports sitting in first place all by themselves, 6-0. Second place is Schalke with a 5-1 record. And in second place also, pardon me, Team Vitality 5-1 as well. Fourth place belongs to Misfits Gaming, 4-2. Fifth place to Splice at an even 3-3. In sixth place, we have a 1-2-3-way tie, SK Gaming, Origin, and Excel Esports all at 2-4. Fnatic, Joey, no longer at the bottom of the table. You got one win. They're 5-1 sitting in ninth place. And Rogue doing their best Giants Gaming impersonation, going 0-6. Kind of a rough week there for the bottom of the table there. Fnatic is picking up their first win. That's a step in the right direction, Joey.
Yeah, I think your biggest games that stick out here are XL beating Misfits and then Vitality beating Origin. We kind of wondered how they would size up. XL, Origin, Misfits, and Vitality, they've all kind of hovered around that top half of the pack, with XL beating Misfits, who is a top two team at that point, and then Vitality taking down Origin, who has also shown some signs of brilliance, but they're also sitting at a 2-4 record. Now it shows Vitality is the real deal. Origin still has some room to grow, while XL is pulling some upsets in with their 2-4 record, but they are looking good in their match against G2, and they beat Misfits here. So a lot of question marks still for the LEC, but overall I think this was a true test, and it also shows Fnatic has a lot of room to grow as well.
So, Joey, we're about to enter week 4 in the LEC. What is one game we should be on the lookout for this upcoming week?
One game to look for this week. I'm going to have to go with... just double-checking. Yeah, I'm going to go with Vitality and G2. Actually, both Vitality games. Vitality versus G2 and Vitality versus XL. I think G2 will beat Vitality, but they have shown signs of brilliance recently. Vitality continues to grow. They're looking really good with Mowgli in the jungle as well. And it was interesting. I thought it was going to be tough to replace Kickass because he always did very well with Vitality, especially in the shot caller role. Now Mowgli coming in, a Korean player, very talented mechanically, but I was curious how that would translate as far as shot calling goes. Vitality is picking off. They had a little rough start, but overall they look really clean now. And I think Vitality with Mowgli's early pressure is going to do well, but G2 will pull the win. I think Vitality beats XL though, but I think we see XL continue to bring forth their strength as well as they are a newer organization to the league. So check out those Vitality matches if you can only catch a few this week. With that, let's head over to NA for their standings. Team Liquid sitting in first at 4-0. FlyQuest in second at 3-1. I did not see that one coming. In third place, we have TSM, Cloud9, CounterLogic Gaming, Echo Fox, Clutch Gaming, and Optic Gaming all tied at 2-2. 100 Thieves, the team that went to Worlds alongside Team Liquid last year. Who else went? It was Team Liquid and Cloud9, right? They went to Worlds? Yeah, of course. I'm just messing with you. 100 Thieves starting off at a 1-3. So just like Fnatic, they are having a bit of a Worlds drop-off, not performing too well, sitting in 9th spot, and then Golden Guardians at 0-4 in 10th. From last week, John, are there any particular matches that stuck out to you in the LCS?
Last week? Not really. The big thing here is anyone going to be able to beat Liquid? Team Liquid is absolutely insane. Clutch really played them incredibly well. I feel like the way they drafted their team against Team Liquid really forced Liquid out of their comfort zone and made Liquid think outside of the box. It was a slower paced game, not as full of action like we've seen in week one for Team Liquid. Very, very good game overall. Good team effort by Liquid to really overcome the draft that Clutch had. So I feel like that was Liquid's biggest challenge so far to date in this early LCS season. That's really the biggest takeaway. Is there anyone that can dethrone Team Liquid? Power roster, absolutely incredible. Really exciting. FlyQuest defeating TSM was kind of a shocker. TSM really sputtering again. Spring has never been good to TSM, but really, really awkward play coming out from TSM in general. Top laner, see, it's really hard not to call him the nickname that the chat was calling him, but he's struggling. And you really have to start to question, was getting rid of Hanser, sending him to Golden Guardians, really the best move for TSM? Is putting your faith in a rookie top laner really the way to go? That's really the biggest takeaways from last week is the questionable roster moves by TSM, and can anyone really defeat Team Liquid?
And then for this week, looking forward, it looks like chat wants a win for Golden Guardians. Do you think they're going to get one?
I think they have a chance against Optic Gaming. I really don't put much faith in there. I think a great opportunity because Golden Guardians wasn't too far off last week. I feel like they were just maybe a team fight or two away from getting their first win. I feel like Golden Guardians' best opportunity is going to come against TSM. If TSM does not show up like they did last week, if they can put all their money top lane with Golden Guardians and really take advantage of the rookie up there, I feel like that is the best way for them to get that win. You're not going to do it through mid lane. You may do it through bot lane, probably not, but I think top lane and jungle is their weak points for TSM. You can do it through there. You can have a great opportunity to take them down. I think that's where Golden Guardians gets the chance. Personally, I think they go 0-2 again this week. I don't think Golden Guardians is going to be able to overcome TSM. I don't think they're going to be able to overcome Optic. Golden Guardians is really, really struggling, so I want to see a little bit more out of there. But I do think Hanser going up against his old team is going to do something fun there on day two. So personally, I would say the games to watch here.
I have one that sticks out big time.
Go for it.
And I feel like it's you don't feel this one too? I feel like you have to on day one.
Which one?
TSM and Cloud9.
No,
I mean,
battle
I feel
of the
like
underachievers?
Both these, I mean, underachievers, but they are sitting middle of the table right now. I mean,
true.
These are two historical teams, organizations. They've been around forever. They have a good rivalry between them. It's been around forever. When you look at these two teams, I feel like there's so much potential there. We've seen both of them rise up before. We've seen them both of them rise up in this particular matchup before. To me, this is who is going to continue to rise up quicker. Is it TSM or Cloud9 here for the spring split?
Okay, fine. I'll go with you. I think TSM Cloud9 would be a very good matchup there as well. I think FlyQuest and Team Liquid will be another interesting matchup. Is FlyQuest for real? They're going to have a very great opportunity to go up against Team Liquid, the best of the best, to really see if FlyQuest is for real here. I think Cloud9 has a great opportunity to beat TSM. But the middle of the pack there, I'm not seeing too much that really defines them in terms of are they going to be able to defeat FlyQuest? Are they going to be able to defeat Team Liquid? There's a lot of mediocrity, if you will, in the middle of the pack in the LCS. So it's going to be interesting to see which teams can really separate themselves from the rest of the pack. But yeah, I'll go with FlyQuest, Team Liquid, and TSM and Cloud9. I think those are two great matches you can watch for next week.
And then to wrap us up for this week, John, our final announcement, the Halo Championship Series Invitational has now been announced. It'll be hosted at South by Southwest from March 15th to the 17th and will feature $100,000 in a pro tournament, Microsoft Store, Pro-Am Throwdown, Big Team Battle Bonanza, and more. John, Halo continues to live on, a popular esport, in particular for Xbox gamers, but it's continuing to grow its popularity as well. And with a new Halo, as far as Halo Infinite on the near horizon in the next year or two, this is an exciting thing to see Halo esports continue on and continue to grow.
Well, Nation, that does it for another episode of the Level Up Podcast. But before you go, head on over to patreon.com/OTN and consider becoming a part of the Overtime Network. In return, you will get access to exclusive content that nobody else in the world can get, unless they are a part of the Overtime Network. If you enjoy listening to the Level Up Podcast, let us know. Leave us a review on iTunes or Google Play, or even shoot us a comment on SoundCloud. We would love to hear from you. In fact, we love to hear from all of our listeners so much, we have other ways for you to interact with us and this show. Joey, where else can Level Up Nation go to interact with us?
Level Up Nation, head on over to Instagram, Twitter, and or Facebook at the Level Up Podcast. That is the LVLUP Podcast. You can also find us streaming regularly on Twitch, this show, as well as other streams throughout the week at twitch.tv/OTN_live.
All right, make sure you tune in next week as we cover the latest and greatest in gaming and esports news. Do your ears a favor. Hit that subscribe button to know when the next episode of Level Up Podcast is ready for your listening pleasures. We will catch you all next week. Remember, be nice to your fellow gamers online, and as always,
level up.
Level up.